Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Glad to have you here joining us for episode 93 of the pod, covering all things the best moments in Star Wars history with a fun twist today. Spoiler alert, ChatGPT is involved in this process. We asked ChatGPT what the best 10 moments were, and we're going to be dissecting that list and seeing just how accurate it might be. Lots of fun in store for today's episode, but before, of course, we get into it, I want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, definitely check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as the newest reactions to Star Wars shows when they do go live. We want to thank the 451 of you who are currently subscribed over there. And we're just going to go ahead and assume that that includes Snoop Dogg as well, based off of last week's episode.
Snoopaloop.
Snoopaloop. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can also find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Spotify and Apple. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We would appreciate it very much. And it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. You can find us on the socials, whether it be at Instagram, TikTok, or X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. The Hoth Hangout community Discord server is available in the show notes of today's episode as well. Check it out and see all that it has in store and to offer to you. Today's viewer teaser question, of course, because we are talking about the best moments in Star Wars history, is simply, what is your favorite Star Wars moment? Let us know on the socials or in the comments of the video version of the podcast. Joey, how you doing, man? How are you feeling about the list that ChatGPT has generated for us to break down and dissect today?
First off, shout out to ChatGPT for helping us out with this episode. We keep hearing about how AI is supposed to be helpful to creatives like ourselves. I think we found one. So we wanted to see how accurate, how we feel about their list, how they're like it's a thing, an actual person or something. Its list the best Star Wars moments. We talked a little bit about it, and you even said like this is a pretty stacked list. So I'm excited to get into it.
I did, yeah. That was, I think, like the first thing I said after I looked at the list for the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, like you said, I was like, this is a stacked list. It's quite the summary of quite the list that has been created by ChatGPT. I think this is the first time we've used it for an episode, ChatGPT. That is, if I'm not mistaken. So right. like you said, it's going to be a lot of fun and. I don't know. It's relatively accurate, and I think it's going to be fun to talk about what it gave us. But before we get into that, as typically we do here on the podcast, going to check in with some of the news in the world of Star Wars, beginning with Star Wars D23, which was this previous week. Lots of fun stuff going on. I would have loved to be there, as I'm sure you would have as well. This thing was being billed as the ultimate Disney fan event. All kinds of new releases of information and just fun moments to honor members of the Star Wars, you know, acting community like Harrison Ford, John Williams, and Frank Oz. And in addition to all of that, as we are getting into this news portion of the podcast, I want to also, for those of you listening to the audio version, you may not realize this, of course, but for those watching the video version of the podcast, you might realize that there's a new updated look here to the podcast. As we're going throughout today's episode, I want to give Gibbo a quick shout out because we have some new spiffy, shiny video graphics being put on their test run for today's episode as well. So let us know down in the comments if you enjoy the new graphics too.
Yeah, Gibbo just dropped this on us. He just said, oh, by the way, I updated some things. And we just just saw it all just before we started recording. So big ups to Gibbo for sure.
Yeah, and it looks pretty cool. We think you guys are going to enjoy it a lot. So shout out to those of you listening, watching the video version of the podcast as we hop into the news segment for today. But the first thing we wanted to focus on in terms of the announcements that were given at Star Wars D23 recently is that an Andor Season 2 sizzle reel was shown confirming the return of Orson Krennic as well as K2SO in their respective roles. And Joey, I did not know this prior to about 15 minutes ago, but I had to ask you, what is a sizzle reel? And and you confirmed to me that that simply means that it was shown there at the event, but has not been released or made available to the public.
Yeah, like
but,
a little trailer, little teaser just for the viewers, the attendees of D23. And I can't say or I can't confirm nor deny that I may have looked for said sizzle reels and on the internet. Not saying that I ever saw any, but yeah, that's the best thing about these attending these types of shows, that you're able to see this exclusive content that nobody else in the world would be able to see unless you were at those shows.
But if you did see them, they didn't exist, right?
No. Yes? I don't know how to answer it.
I am surprised I didn't go off and look. I didn't even know about this until like literally an hour ago. So I might be looking around, you know, for these infamous sizzle reels as well after today's episode. But the other, a lot of cool announcements that came out of D23 were about The Mandalorian and Grogu. Of course, The Mandalorian and Grogu film coming to theaters, not next year, but the following year in May of 2026, May 22nd to be precise. And one of the fun pieces of news is that Smuggler's Run at Disney Parks will have a Mandalorian element update around the time of the movie release here in about less than 2 years' time. This was a ride I actually did get to go on when I went to Disneyland. And have I told you the story about this ride, Joey?
I don't think so.
So it's the Falcon, and you're in there, and you know, there's six seats, which was perfect because like my whole family got to like sit in there, and of course my sister's on her phone, like, you know, Snapchatting the whole thing or whatever, and I'm like, put your phone down, we're about to crash the Falcon into this meteor, and so it was fun, it was a blast, but of course the ride will be getting a Mandalorian and Grogu update. Ooh, Gibbo did it last year too.
I did it 2 years ago. So yeah, I gotta imagine when 2026 comes. Ooh, it's gonna get hard. It's gonna be real difficult to get on that ride again.
Yeah,
not that it's easy now, but it's gonna get even worse.
Those rides do have quite the wait time, but you know, for as long as the lines are, they do still manage to make it go quicker than I guess you would expect. But anyways, so that's another fun update regarding the film. And additionally, there was also another sizzle reel shown confirming that Zeb from Star Wars Rebels will be in action as well with Grogu making an appearance in the film, too. So kind of a fun another crossover. What role do you think he's going to play? Because we've seen him in a brief cameo once before in live action. But what role do you think he's going to play in the Mandalorian and Grogu film, if any, a big one or not?
I think he's going to be just like one of these, kind of like what Carson Teva did in his role, kind of will be there to help guide them in some way or just point them in the right direction or maybe protect them from something like that. You know, nothing too huge. But you know, with all the Rebels characters just kind of sitting around there, I wouldn't be surprised if we may see another one.
I really hope we do get to see him kind of in like an active speaking role. I love his part that he has to play in the Rebels show, and so I hope they bring that to life in live action in a way that is really neat and fun to see. So looking forward to seeing both Mando and Grogu on the big screen this time for the first time ever. So again, coming to theaters May 22nd, 2026. This feels like Disney Star Wars is like baby right now, no pun intended with Baby Yoda, but like it feels like it's the thing that is garnering and going to be garnering the most attention kind of moving forward with this era of Star Wars. So it's crazy that we're still, you know, 2 years away, a little less than 2 years away, and we're getting what feels like pretty frequent announcements. So
yeah, we also should mention that in the sizzle reel with Grogu, there's two tiny Enzelans. And the Enzelan is the same creature or the species as Babu Frick from Rise of Skywalker. So is there a little lead into there? Who knows?
the baby Grogu, Grogu and the Babu Frick crossover, the one we didn't know we needed, but we're gonna love it anyways.
I don't know how old Babu Frick is, or you know, so I don't know how the timelines work, but that might be Babu in there.
Could be. Additionally, they also revealed two new trailers, one of which was for Skeleton Crew, and the other was for Rebuild the Galaxy. You and I got the chance to watch both of these new trailers over the previous few days, and if you're interested in watching our reactions to either the Rebuild the Galaxy or the Skeleton Crew trailer, our reactions to each of those are available on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel at this moment. So we'll leave them linked down in the video version of the podcast as well. But, you know, that's coming here really soon. In just about 1 month's time, Rebuild the Galaxy is going to be here. Everyone is getting super excited for Darth Jar Jar. I feel like he's going to get all the hype going into this show, and he's going to get, like, I don't know.
Oh, don't do that to me, man.
We got like five minutes of screen time or something.
Maybe. But yeah, like you said, and what we've said in the past, that Lego humor really holds true in all of theirs. But I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Skeleton Crew. That trailer was was fun. It was very Goonies. It was very Goonies, E.T., all those 90s, 80s types of kid movies and on their adventure. So, yeah, that got me excited to watch that, too. And what's that, December 3rd?
December 3rd, yep. Both coming this year. One next month with the Rebuild the Galaxy, and one just around the holiday time, the first week of December. So lots to look forward to there. And then additionally, John Williams, Harrison Ford, and Frank Oz, like, what a trio of human beings there. We're all honored with the Disney Legends Award over the weekend at D23. And there was a fun picture that was circling around social media. I saw a few days ago and just saw it again a couple of moments ago, just looking over the article of Harrison Ford putting both his hands into a... yeah, there it is with the video version of the podcast. You can see it. And Mickey's in the background like, hey... You know, it's funny because Harrison Ford doesn't really strike me as like a Mickey Mouse guy.
He does not. Not at all. It's cool to see him out there with the fans. He's very different from like a Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill seems very approachable. Someone who will talk to you for hours if you let him. But Harrison kind of gives you a little bit more of the serious tone, you know.
Yeah.
Probably is like super funny in real life. But... You know, at the same time, you almost don't want to. If I saw two of them at a coffee shop, let's say, I would probably go up to Mark Hamill before I would go up to Harrison Ford.
What's your best Harrison Ford impression?
Oh, kid, I can't do it.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. What is that? Is this from Indiana Jones? Hey, kid. Anyways, so all three of them, Harrison Ford, John Williams, and Frank Oz, the puppeteer and voice of Yoda, all received that Disney Legends honor over the weekend at D23. Pretty cool to see that. And then lastly, in terms of D23 news, just a fun little photo of a fan cosplay, several fans cosplaying as Mandalorians here that we wanted to share. If you're watching the video version of the podcast, it looks like, what, about 15 or so Mandalorians all on screen at the same time. Seems like they're pretty excited for the Mandalorian and Grogu movie coming up here in just about 2 years' time.
I got to call out the one on the bottom left where he's got the whoever that is got a bunch of, it looks like boba drinks, you know, boba tea with like the little boba pearls. I don't know. Do you drink boba tea?
I've had boba one time. I'm not personally a big fan, but I can respect it.
Yeah. So that is the literal Boba Fett. So much props to that one.
What if he would have been a giant cup of boba with like a stormtrooper helmet on top?
I've been fine with that too. that'll be our next cosplay when we go to Celebration together eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So D23, a very fun and eventful weekend with lots of exciting and new news, as well as reminders of upcoming things in the works in the Star Wars realm. Lastly, in terms of comments, or in terms of news for today, I should say, before we get to our comments, we have a special charity announcement of sorts that, Joey, you have been doing some fundraising recently for Stand Up to Cancer. Isn't that right?
Yeah. So on my Twitch channel, if you're watching the video version of the podcast, If you follow me at It's Kuya Joey on Twitch, I've been doing some charity fundraising there for Stand Up to Cancer. You know, it's I'm part of a larger group of people. Particularly, there's like a Lego group in on Twitch that asked me to help out with their charity fundraising for them. So of course, I took up the opportunity to say yes to that. And you know, personally, I actually lost a cousin last year to breast cancer. 50 years old, super young, unfortunately did not catch it in time. So when the opportunity was given to me to raise funds for an organization like Stand Up to Cancer, who helps fund a lot of research towards the cure for cancer, I had to jump on it right away. So if you're interested in either watching my stream on Twitch, I'm normally live every day, like during the day, or if you want to donate to the cause, there will be a link in the show notes so you can donate there. So I just wanted to really quickly, I know this isn't normally what we would do, but this is a pretty important thing for us. Ben and I come from places where we love to help out charities. We both fundraise for Ronald McDonald House charities. I think you did also the St. Jude's, if I'm not mistaken, Ben.
Yeah.
So we like to use our platforms to help out others in need as well. So if you can, Stand Up to Cancer, we are fundraising for that. And like I said, the link will be in show notes as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Head on down there if you're listening or watching. That'll be in both the show notes of the video version of the podcast and the audio version if you're listening on any audio platforms. That link, I believe it will be a Tiltify link. And you'll be able to access the donation through that for Stand Up to Cancer. So definitely an amazing cause, and check it out in the show notes below. And stop by Joey's stream next time to donate to it live, even if you prefer to do it that way. So, all right, well, it's time for some viewer comments from last week's episode. Today we've got three we're going to showcase. The first of which was from Lord Galvatron. Actually, all three of our commenters today, frequenters of the Hoth Hangout podcast. But the first comment from Lord Galvatron simply said, another great draft episode. Love these. And in response to the question of the week, Lord Galvatron also said, my favorite is between Kylo Ren, Rey, and Din Djarin. Big sequels fan, if it wasn't obvious, LOL. I always appreciate that about Lord Galvatron, because I feel like I like having, like, I don't know, I feel like the sequels do get a lot of hate. So the fact that we have, like, people, you know, in our Hoth Hangout community who are like, that's like their thing, I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes to show that it, you know, Star Wars has different entry points. I know Lord Galvatron's a little, you know, he grew up with like the sequel, the prequels and such like that, but still favorite trilogy is the sequels. So maybe a shock to some, but you know, not to him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, shout out to Lord Galvatron for our first comment. Our second comment was from Spy on Sports. Spy on Sports, another frequent listener of the podcast, said, great lists, gentlemen. Disney era versus Disney Plus era confused me as well. My personal top five in no particular order, with the criteria being no lead characters from non-Disney productions. Examples of that being Kenobi, Vader, but more so his list was encompassed by personal favorites and impactful roles. And so for those five, Spy on Sports included Carson Teva, Cobb Vanth,
yes,
Luthen Rail. Yeah, this is like, this sounds like your list, Joey.
That's right.
Chimer, as well as Din Djarin. So, I mean, I think that's a great list. Cobb Vanth, is it fair to say the best part of the Book of Boba Fett? I mean,
the best new part. Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked better in the Boba Fett armor as well. I'm just going to say it.
Ooh, hot takes. Spy on Sports also said that Sabine Wren, Cassian Andor, Fu Yang, and the Armorer and Kino Loy are all honorable mentions. Man, I forgot about some of these. Yeah, the Armorer and Hu Yang are both ones that maybe I didn't even consider enough for last week. But greatest moments in Star Wars history, Spy on Sports concludes with, oh boy, can't wait. And that is, of course, today's topic. So we can't wait either. Yeah. our last comment is from I Am Bevan Lee. And I Am Bevan Lee said, I am also very interested to see what they do with Baylan Skoll. Oh, I love me some Baylan Skoll. He feels very gray to me, which I love in a character similar to Ahsoka, Anakin, and Kylo. Yeah.
Hold on. Is this your alt?
I Am Bevan Lee is my alt account. And Spy on Sports is your alt account.
Yeah,
that
sounds right. Yep. Mm-hmm,
I Am Bevan Lee goes on to say, I'm surprised Vader didn't make the cut for y'all. For me, it would have been Ahsoka, Vader, Obi-Wan, Din, and shirtless Kylo. Thank you very much.
I like how she specifically, okay, maybe that's not you, Ben, after all.
who would win in a fight? Shirtless Kylo or shirtless Chimer?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd go Chimer.
The Star Wars fans will be debating it for ages to come.
So. That should have been our question of the week.
Question of the week this week. That'd be pretty good. Well, speaking of question of the week, and thank you once again to all of our commenters. If you comment down below after today's episode, we'd love to showcase your comment on next week's episode of the podcast. But we did also have a question that we asked last week. Who is your favorite character from the Disney Plus shows? The options given were Grogu, The Mandalorian, Cassian Andor, as well as Ahsoka. Over on YouTube, Grogu won with a margin of 41% to The Mandalorian's 24%. Andor's 24% and Ahsoka's 12%. I'm honestly like really surprised that Mando and Andor, I mean, I love the fact that Andor is getting, you know, some love here, mm-hmm. that they both tied in terms of percentage, but no surprise, I guess, that Grogu tops the polls over on YouTube as well as over on Twitter, where Grogu actually garnered 75% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Andor and Ahsoka not getting as much love on Twitter, with not a single vote on either one of those, with the Mandalorian getting 25% of the vote. So Grogu reigns supreme as the favorite Disney Plus character, it seems. That feels about accurate, I would say. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I should have done when I put those out there? Normally, whoever is like on the top is like, you know, who you think is going to get number one. So I should put Grogu like maybe third or fourth just to mix it up a little bit.
Balance out the percentages or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, keep an eye out on the YouTube community tab as well as over on X at Hoth Hangout for this week's question of the week. Cast your response and have your voice be heard in the next Hoth Hangout weekly poll, and we'll showcase the results on next week's episode of the podcast, where we will be covering the lowest moments in Star Wars history. However, today, the topic is the best moments in Star Wars history, according to ChatGPT. Joey, you asked ChatGPT, name the 10 best moments in Star Wars. And the following that we're going to be going over are the 10 moments that ChatGPT spat back out at us. These are some good moments, I got to say. So we'll be going through these 10 to 1 and kind of giving our short takes on each of them as well as we go throughout. Maybe if we think they're deserving of a spot, maybe if we think, that's kind of surprising, it ended up in the top 10. And then we'll conclude with, if there was anything left off, we'll each give one that we thought could have been included. And we also encourage all of you listening and watching, if you get to the end and you're like, oh, wow, that's really surprising they didn't include whatever you had in mind, leave us a comment with that as well. And we'll talk about that on next week's episode of the podcast. But should we kick things off, Joey, with number 10, according to ChatGPT?
All right, let's see what it has to say, I guess.
Yeah. ChatGPT said the trench run from New Hope is the 10th best moment in Star Wars history. Of course, Luke Skywalker's daring attack on the Death Star, culminating in his successful shot and destruction of the massive space station. Joey, I remember the first time I watched this scene, and I've talked about this before. I had the unfortunate circumstance of seeing prequels before the originals. And so I remember watching this scene thinking, oh my gosh, it just feels like so long to me. But it almost like it's almost good that it is, because it builds the suspense in a really meaningful way. You know, him turning off his what is it called in the scene? He turns off his tracker, or not tracker. Mm-hmm. What's the name for it in the scene?
It's essentially the tracker, but yeah, he turns that off, and he turns off the computer to determine when he is supposed to take the shot.
Is it Navicomputer? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Do you think this is deserving of a? I feel. I mean, for me personally, I hear Trench Run. I'm like, that's classic, iconic, the pinnacle of the first Star Wars film. I think this is very deserving of a top 10 spot. You could even make the case that it could be higher on the list.
Oh yeah, I tapped top 10 easily. I could argue top six, top five, top six maybe. Especially because, you know, the first real moment of Luke using the Force in his way, you know, and to actually see it happen, and to hit that shot. I mean, come on, you know, he's got to be, it's pretty amazing. And I've said this before, this kid was on Tatooine, not doing anything like this before. And by the end of the movie, he's taken the most important shot in all of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Very deserving of a top 10 spot. Yeah. The culmination of the entire first film, if you will. So, yes, ChatGPT, you did us right for number 10. I think we're doing all right so far. We're doing all right.
All right, yeah. So number 9 on this list, Anakin's transformation into Darth Vader from Revenge of the Sith. Mm. When he comes up from that table, right after being sliced and diced by Obi-Wan. And you knew what was going to happen. I mean, he was on that surgery table. You knew it was going to be Vader. Because obviously this is the, you know, this is the prequel. So everyone knew Anakin turns to Darth Vader. Here is that pinnacle moment that it actually happens. And pivotal emotional moment when Anakin Skywalker is renamed Darth Vader by Emperor Palpatine. I mean, you know, so it's both. I mean, just this entire scene, the scene that he, you know, rises as Vader, you know, and it probably even goes back into the, it was the Emperor's office, right, where he originally kind of became Darth Vader. He kind of knighted him almost after he threw, you know, Mace Windu out the window. So, you know, so just that, and just seeing that transformation overall, you kind of knew what was going to happen. Honestly, pretty good. This is a pretty good pick. It was more of just maybe not a specific moment, but just kind of seeing that happen throughout this movie really was impactful.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Like, is the moment of him, because ChatGPT listed this as Anakin's transformation into Darth Vader, but I mean, I think it's referring to this scene, but you could make the case like it's really talking about the whole film.
Right, yeah.
This, or really the whole prequel trilogy, I guess, if you want to think about it that way, but. Yeah, this is I would say it's tough because this is a shorter technically moment than the entire Trench Run. The Trench Run is like, you know, minutes long, whereas this is just like a 30-second scene where he, you know, is lifted up on the table, pops out, crushes all the droids, and then in a very meme-worthy fashion, after Palpatine says, you know, you killed her, he's like, no. But just the moment, like if you're watching the video version of the podcast, like where he's going from prone on the table to standing, I think it's fair to say that that's one of the best moments, 10 best moments in Star Wars history. So hot take might be putting it ahead of Trench Run. I don't know.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, I would be okay with that,
but they're close, that's for sure. So at number 9, we had Anakin's transformation into Darth Vader, or ChatGPT, I guess I should say, had Anakin's transformation into Darth Vader. So, all right, at number 8, the 8th best moment in Star Wars history, according to ChatGPT, the return of Luke Skywalker at the end of Mandalorian Season 2. When I read this list, Joey, I was actually really excited that this was included, because I was thinking there's not going to be anything from any Disney Plus TV shows on here. And then I saw that this was on here and I was like, oh, you know what? I think just for the like cultural moment that was, I think it's pretty fair to put this in the top 10 moments. Whether you think it's ahead of, you know, the Darth Vader scene where he's being moved up on the table or the Trench Run, you can debate that. But, you know, this is the moment where Luke has his dramatic and heroic arrival into the finale of the second season of Mando. And he, not only do you just get to see him, but you get to see him like, mm-hmm. like in his full Jedi, like showcasing the fullness of his prowess and providing just like a thrilling and really emotional moment for fans. During when this season or when this episode had just come out, I remember going on YouTube. I think this was before we had started doing our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching reactions, and there are people watching this crying. Mm. I mean, this is like such a fun moment in recent Star Wars pop culture history that I think just for its impact amongst a generation of fans who loved the originals and then, you know, invested into The Mandalorian, this just felt like so overwhelming to the point of tears, as you saw in the case with a lot of people. Really just an incredible moment, and probably the best moment of The Mandalorian, in my opinion, just mainly from a hype standpoint. But I mean, I think it's pretty fair to put this in the top 10. Some fans of, you know, the movie only fans might have issue with it, but I personally don't. What about you?
I remember, and you know, the timing, you got to remember, I think this was already after, was this already after Last Jedi and after Rise of Skywalker? I'd have to, yeah.
Yes.
So I think the trilogy, the sequel trilogy, sequel trilogy was already done. And I remember people saying, this is the Luke that I wanted to see in the sequel trilogy. You know, some version of this, they wanted to see that green lightsaber. They wanted to see it being used like this. Walk into a room, hooded. I mean, look at this picture. I mean, walk into a room, hooded. He's got the smoke. And if I remember correctly, before that, you saw his X-Wing flying into the ship. So just the whole buildup for it. Like you said, the cultural impact by this moment, I mean, it was just huge, and it was so great. And yeah, like you said, the movie watchers, they really missed out if they weren't along for this ride, because it was so fun. And it was I think everyone screamed at the same time, whatever that time was, that night when they saw the green light shine for a final time.
Making those robots who are, you know, like the super battle droids, I can't recall their actual name, but who had been like, you know, this terrible menace in the episode, and Luke comes in and he's like, nah, this is easy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was number 8, Return of Luke Skywalker. Number 7, ChatGPT says, and I like this one just as much as the Mandalorian one
of
Luke Skywalker. Ahsoka versus Darth Vader in Star Wars Rebels. Now, I will say, when I first asked this question, name the 10 best moments in Star Wars, I did, after that, have to qualify, include animated series and include Disney Plus TV shows. So originally, these were not on the list. So because they thought Star Wars, okay, just the movies. I guess that's what ChatGPT said. But eventually, I made it a little bit more specific. So it did include Ahsoka versus Darth Vader in Star Wars Rebels. It goes on to say, the intense and emotional duel between Ahsoka Tano and her former master Darth Vader on Malachor, delivering a powerful confrontation and character moment, which is cool about this, because this moment actually happened twice, right, in Rebels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First, you kind of see it at the end of season. Remind me, was it season 2?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, season 2. But then you see it from Ezra's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Through the world between worlds in season 4. So we got to see this moment twice. So this is a 2-for-1, guys. To see her battle her master, and I think, and remind me, I didn't go rewatch this. Did she realize it was Anakin at this point?
Yeah, she knows it's him at this point. Yeah.
So just to have that realization kind of live right in front of you. You grew up with this Ahsoka character all through Clone Wars. She comes up in Rebels, and then she finds out her master is, you know, the villain that everyone's trying to get, you know, run away from. Just such a great scene and a great battle.
The thing I've always really enjoyed about, for those that don't watch any animated Star Wars, the lightsaber duels, while you could argue are less realistic, they're a lot more fluid, because it just feels like it's faster paced, obviously, because they have more flexibility to do that with animation. This is a great example of a lightsaber duel that really feels kind of that fast-paced and fluid way. It actually takes place in an episode that Darth Maul is in too, funny enough. I guess at that point he's not Darth Maul, he's just Maul, but so like that's also a fun other part of this scene is that's going on kind of in the background of the scene. But then apart from that, it is, you know, Star Wars is the story of Anakin Skywalker, and Ahsoka is a huge part of that. And this is like their confrontation, like this moment of coming to terms with the past and like what is the present and how Anakin has fallen. And another note I wanted to make about this scene that I think I've talked about before on the podcast, but at the conclusion of this scene, Ahsoka strikes Vader across the mask with one of her lightsabers, and it kind of severs part of his mask, revealing one of his eyes, like that Sith yellow eye. And the scene ends by you not really knowing what happens. And so, and this is the last scene of the entire second season. And so the second season of Rebels ends and you're like, I don't know what happened to Ahsoka. I don't know what happened to Vader, you know? And so it's only in season four when we go back, we get to see how actually Ahsoka was saved from this scenario. Not to spoil it, I guess, in case anyone hasn't seen it. But anyways, go back to it. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. But she cuts off half his mask. You actually see in the Kenobi series, in Obi-Wan and Vader's fight in that series, that he cuts off the other half of his mask, which is very interesting because Ahsoka cut off the right side of his mask in this scene. In the Kenobi series, Obi-Wan cuts off the left side of his mask. And then someone made the connection at some point, whether this was done intentionally or not, who knows, but feels like in some ways it was, that while she was able to remove part of it and Obi-Wan was able to remove part of it, you know, his Padawan and his master, him being Anakin, it was only his son in the end in Return of the Jedi who was able to remove both parts of the mask and really bring him back to the light.
My heart. Oh, my God.
So this is a cool scene from that perspective as well, because you get to see kind of, you know, the origin of that Ahsoka being unable to bring him back, Obi-Wan being unable to bring him back, both of those people experiencing guilt. And then how it culminates, of course, in the story we all know and love in the original trilogy with Luke and Return of the Jedi. So anyways, this scene in particular is really fun. It's one of the two, I would say, best animated lightsaber duels, and really worth watching if you've never seen it. So I could rave about Twilight of an Apprentice, which is the name of this episode, for a while. But we must continue because... number six in terms of the best Star Wars moments, according to ChatGPT, The Mandalorian and Grogu, or at the time, Baby Yoda, meeting is the sixth best moment in Star Wars, according to ChatGPT. The first reveal of Grogu, widely known at that time as Baby Yoda, I think I want to say, you know, it was what, maybe 3, 4, 5 more episodes until we actually knew what Baby Yoda's name was. And so, you know, all the marketing being done was Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. And I don't know if that was something that Disney did intentionally, or after this episode, they realized that people were referring to him as Baby Yoda, mm-hmm. and they just kind of like picked up the ball and ran with it. But it created an instant cultural phenomenon. And a heartwarming connection between Mando and the child, and a connection that, you know, continued on through the rest of the show and even into the third season. We have begun to see how Grogu is revealed. And yeah, it's Ahsoka. Shout out to Gibbo for that as well. It's Ahsoka who reveals Grogu's name.
So that's not even that season then, is it?
I want to say that was... Yeah, it might have even been the next season, season two.
That's
the next season.
Yeah, that's not a couple of weeks. That's years.
Like episode 5 or 6, maybe, of season two, if I'm not mistaken, was the Ahsoka episode where we first see, what's her name? The magistrate. Morgan Elsbeth. Yes, yes. Anyway, so, you know, in that case, it was like a year before we actually knew what his name was, but... regardless, this is a really cool moment. I don't know. This is the first one that I look at and I'm like, is this a top 10 moment in Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. For me personally, the other four we've already gone over on the list would all be higher than this.
Sure.
Not that I didn't love Mando season 1 and 2. Not that I don't love Mando, not that I don't love Grogu. I love all of those things. I just think when I think about this moment, it really didn't feel like this moment was a top best moment. It was just kind of like the thing that spawned a crazy cultural phenomenon. So, I mean, maybe it is in that sense, but I don't know. What do you think? For me, this one is really borderline if it's a top 10 moment or not.
I could probably easily put it top 15. Top 10, against these other ones, I'm not quite sure if I would call it a top 10. But, you know, if we talk through it a little bit like you were going to, you know, the cultural impact, again, of this particular character. When, let's look back. When you realized this was the species that Yoda was, everyone had the same exact thought, which was, wait, isn't Yoda dead? Like, you know, like, wait, where are we in time? You have to, like, go, you know, pull out your books and your timelines trying to figure out exactly where you are. So that was one thing, because you just didn't, you know, so it had that, you know, that community feel of just like everyone's just like rushing to the internet, like, who is this? Well, you know, is this Yoda? Is this some reincarnation of Yoda? Who is this? You know, funnily enough, I just, a friend of mine just realized, and I'm not kidding, like a week ago, and she doesn't watch any Star Wars, so that this is why. She didn't realize that that was not Yoda. she thought that that was Yoda, first of all, because everybody called him Baby Yoda, so they thought that it was Baby Yoda. So it was pretty funny. It's a side story, but anyway, the cultural impact. One thing that I feel like that Lucasfilm Star Wars dropped the ball was that they didn't figure out that this was going to be a huge cultural phenomenon. Because it took, I forget the premiere of what the day was, but it ended up being not until the following Christmas that they had any Baby Yoda merchandise ready. Isn't that crazy?
Like, wow,
you would think that they would have had just shelves of it ready to have this really cute Baby Yoda thing. But it took forever to get any type of merchandise with Baby Yoda, like, officially from Star Wars. So, like, any figures, any Funko Pops, it all took forever for them to get it to us.
I wonder if part of that is because this is the first thing Disney Plus ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't sure if it was going to be successful or not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure they made the money anyway, but because I mean it was Christmas time, but still,
right?
I think they could have Q2 or Q3 or whenever it came out, they probably could have banked pretty good right away.
Mm. Yeah, this is the one I'm most curious about from people listening and watching. Let us know if you think Mandalorian and Baby Grogu reveal is a top 10 moment in Star Wars history. So, yeah, shout out to the IG-11 if you're watching the video version of the podcast. The IG-11 droid on the ground, 07s.
Yeah, we see him later, though. Don't worry.
Yeah. He comes back. Well, we're halfway through the list, it looks like.
Yeah, halfway on to number 5. ChatGPT says this is the fifth best moment is the Siege of Mandalore from the Clone Wars. I think that's season 7, right? That was in season 7.
Season 7.
The breathtaking final arc of the Clone Wars featuring Ahsoka Tano and Captain Rex during Order 66, offering a profound and emotional conclusion to the series. This is one of those things, again, where it's not like a succinct like scene, right? It's kind of like this, you know, everything that happens. Order 66 happens in real time for Ahsoka. She kind of realizes it. Everyone, all the clones turn on her, Captain Rex, and we go back to a really incredible lightsaber scene.
Yes.
Between Ahsoka and Maul here. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this was actually mocap. This was motion capture.
Yep.
And they used actually Ray Park to play Maul for Maul's part. So if you watch it, it is very, like, it's almost a little trippy because it's like actual people doing it. Whereas normally in animated series, especially like in the Clone Wars, there was a lot of like kind of quick movements that, you know, couldn't really happen in actual, you know, live action fighting. To see it with in this medium was a little bit trippy, I will admit, but it was just such a great scene either way. I mean, I'd argue that this is probably one of the top lightsaber scenes that I've seen, although it was animated, but it kind of wasn't also.
Right. It's that hybrid. Yeah. Earlier, I mentioned when we were talking about the Ahsoka versus Vader scene in Rebels, how it's one of the best two animated Star Wars scenes of all time. This is the other one I did have in mind. It's unique. It's the only animated lightsaber duel that's ever been put on the screen using mocap. Like you said, Ray Park, the actor who originally played Maul in the prequel trilogy, was doing the mocap for his part. And it, more than just the lightsaber duel, I mean, these set of episodes, really the entire seventh season of the Clone Wars. For those that don't know, Clone Wars had six seasons, went off the air, concluded with the sixth season. Then they brought back the seventh season like 10 years later. And the whole premise of the seventh season is essentially experiencing the events of Revenge of the Sith through the eyes of Ahsoka, like where she was during this whole time. And so the last episode or two of season seven of the Clone Wars is like happening simultaneous to Anakin's final downfall, where, you know, he betrays the Jedi, you know, kills Mace Windu, submits to Palpatine as his apprentice, and then obviously Order 66 is enacted. And there's a great scene that's a part of this episode as well, where, you know, Order 66 is being enacted and whatnot. But obviously, you know, it's Star Wars, and so the lightsaber duel is what stands out and sticks out to us most. And it makes this scene really pop, and it's really special. And is it number five best moment of all time? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love this episode and this scene. Five is very high. There's a lot of things that you're putting below it. So for me personally, it would be in my top 10. I could easily see how it wouldn't be for people, especially if you're not fans of anything that's not movie. But you could talk me into it being five, I guess. It's really good. And but that, this is kind of one of those ones where I'm comfortable with it in the top 10. Top five, maybe. I don't know. But a great scene. By the way, if you haven't seen Clone Wars, that's another one, along with Rebels. You got to give the animated Star Wars a chance. They are really incredible from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah, from what I remember, I think Gibbo actually trucked through all of those. So shout out to Gibbo, getting through all the seven seasons.
Gibbo, how long did that take you, by the way? Oh, watching Rebels next? Six months. Ooh.
It takes a while. It's a grind, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Worth it. That's the message. Rebels is just as good.
Yeah,
Rebels
is good too. Yeah.
Well, speaking of animated Star Wars, our last point on ChatGPT's top 10 moments in Star Wars history, number four is also from animated Star Wars, and it's Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order. This is, of course, when Ahsoka makes the heart-wrenching decision to leave the Jedi, making the pivotal moment in her character development and the series as a whole. This is, of course, in response to her being framed by a certain someone who I won't spoil in case you haven't seen the show, but she is framed for bombing the Jedi Temple. And so she has to go through this whole trial process. None of the Jedi believe her. Even Anakin is like a little bit skeptical of her, and it just feels like no one trusts her. Anakin does back her in the end, but, you know, she feels like she's lost trust throughout this process. And so ultimately she makes the decision to leave the Jedi Order. I am shocked, honestly, that this is number four. It's a very powerful moment, I'll say that. And it changes the scope or the course of history for Anakin's character. This obviously happens before he turns to the dark side, and it just is one more thing that pulls him a little bit more towards that direction. I am surprised it's on the top 10 list for best moments in Star Wars history, just because it's something that's very like heart-wrenching and sad. I was, you know, not that it's a bad moment to put it on next week's list, but to put it all the way up here at number four is like one of the best moments. Like the word best was in the prompt. So I guess I take a little bit of issue with this one.
Mm-hmm.
So not taking away from like the impact of this scene, but I'm not sure if I would refer to it as a best moment. I don't know. What are you feeling about this one?
I mean, if it was worded, like you said, if it was an impactful moment, and I was going to say the same thing about how it was just one more straw on Anakin's back, you know, that would just turn him, you know, and this was his Padawan. This was his, you know, this was his snips. You know what I mean? So I think this was a very impactful moment for him. But to know that later on she comes back, you know, kind of helps out. It kind of lessens this a little bit, you know, because, you know, she kind of comes back, helps out, and does her thing there. So that part, you know, retroactively, you know, if you think about that, kind of lessens this blow a little bit, you know, where it's sure it was impactful in that moment, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, she comes back. So it's not, you know, maybe not as a Jedi, maybe not as all that. But she is very much involved in everything. If this was the last we saw of Ahsoka, that's a different story, right?
Yeah.
If we never saw her again, that would be sad. No books, you know, no comic books, nothing. If this was the last thing, I think it would be more impactful. But because we know eventually she makes it out, and she has her own series now, you know what I mean? You know, as impactful as it was in the moment, it does make a lot of sense, but kind of like in the grand scheme of things, you know, she needed to go through this. This was just another stepping stone. So I would agree with you. Maybe not a top 10 moment because of all that. I feel like most of the other things were, you know, because it happened, a lot of other things happened in front, you know, because of it, you know, like the trench run, you know, that you know, that is a huge moment because of everything that happened, because the Death Star blew up, you know. This moment, though, yeah, I can't necessarily say that.
Yeah, this moment really highlights the fact that this is one of the first moments in Star Wars history where it highlights that Jedi aren't automatically just the good side, so to speak, like they can be flawed and whatnot. And bringing in more of that grayness, you know. So
yeah, and if you haven't seen The Acolyte, they definitely lean on that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, my turn, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I got this one. This is a great one. number three, Duel of the Fates from Phantom Menace. Talk about incredible lightsaber moments. We were talking about Ray Park earlier, the actual Ray Park in this one. The intense lightsaber between Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Darth Maul, accompanied by John Williams' unforgettable score. So, right, that is a important part of it, too, is that Duel of the Fates, everyone knows this score. You know, everyone just knows it. If you're a Star Wars fan, you know the score. You know it's from Phantom Menace. You know it's from the scene. So, I mean, at number three, I'm okay maybe at number two, too, because of just the kind of everything about it is just incredible. The lightsaber scene, and if you haven't seen it, which I hope you have if you're watching this podcast, you know, the death of Qui-Gon there, you see how, you know, what we thought was the end of Darth Maul, you know, and the Obi-Wan finally kind of getting his, you know, what ends up becoming his journey now, right? It's just all of that happening just in this scene, Duel of the Fates. I mean, it's just an incredible moment. And again, when you hear the words Duel of the Fates, you think of these things. You think of the fight. You think of the music. So if you want to talk about best moments, I think this is definitely worthy of a top three pick.
Yeah, this would probably be number two for my personal list. I mean, this to me is Star Wars. Like, prequel era is, for me personally, again, the height of lightsaber duels and like what you can do with the fast-pacedness of it and the choreography and like you said, this scene would be great without John Williams' music. This scene is incredible with the music. Like, this for me is my earliest memories of Star Wars, because I did watch the prequel trilogy before I watched the original trilogy growing up. Just love this scene. This is the pinnacle of lightsaber dueling for me personally. So again, on my personal list, this is top two. I can live with it being top three according to ChatGPT, a very worthy pick here on this list. So oh, I love this. I love this scene so much. Yeah,
we can do a whole episode on just the scene.
Break down the choreography and the foot placement and the
yeah.
All right, we're up to the top two, according to ChatGPT, the two remaining best moments in Star Wars history. At number two, it's just the Battle of Hoth, the namesake of this podcast, conveniently.
It's like they knew.
We did not
asking the question.
We did not pay ChatGPT to say this, believe it or not. I think this is a really fair pick, putting this up here at number two. I mean, it would definitely be top 10 for me. Like, is this entire scene just, like, the second best moment in Star Wars history? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Like, I would personally have Duel of the Fates above this. But this is just really an epic battle featuring those AT-AT walkers, as well as those Rebel snowspeeders, and showcasing really the sheer scale of a battle in Star Wars, at least a battle taking place on a planet for the first time, and the intensity of the Star Wars universe. And so, Joey, before I talk any more about this scene, in Star Wars Battlefront 2, back in like 2005, when I was loving that game, and when you and I have recently had the chance to play the remastered version, this was the map that was always my favorite. I loved playing on Hoth. Mm-hmm. And so this scene is very iconic, of course. My personal favorite part of this scene is getting to see Vader visit the planet at the end of it, because he in his black garb, he just really stands out against the white snow he's seen. And so, yeah, Gibbo also in the background saying, under an hour. We're not going to make it under an hour.
Yeah, unless we speed it up.
Yep. All that to say, I think Battle of Hoth is worthy of a top 10 spot. I probably wouldn't have it in my second position, but definitely an iconic battle in Star Wars, and personally worthy of a top 10 spot, I think.
I think the one thing that I may not, and you may not have the, be privy to, is really understanding what this looked like back then when it first came out.
Sure.
We watched it later on when other movies have explored this vastness, explored like this huge vision of, large AT-ATs just walking around. So I unfortunately I would say the same thing. Number two, probably not as high as number two. I don't know if even like maybe even the lower side of top 10, maybe even top 15 for me. But yeah, I think this is just an iconic just. Hoth in general. I mean, no pun intended, obviously. Hoth kind of in general was a very cool aesthetic, right? You see the Rebel snowspeeders, you see the Tauntauns, you see everything is just something that is extremely fresh, extremely new to Star Wars, because honestly there isn't any 15 give us this 15th that's a treason to Hoth. It's treason then. So just to see that fresh look. I mean, because really, think about it. You don't really see anything looking like this in all the rest of Star Wars. You know, kind of a snow planet, kind of like this. Maybe Ilum in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the other planet that maybe looks like this. But like, just like all snow, all, icebergs and all that stuff. Just a real clean look. And like you said, having Vader, like, contrast with it. Just a great-looking scene. Great battle.
Absolutely. We've got one more, Joey. The best moment in Star Wars.
One more. I mean, this is no surprise, right? This is no surprise. This was number one. I feel like if ChatGPT gets this wrong, we just kind of throw out the entire list, right? But, of course, I Am Your Father from The Empire Strike Back. That is the name of this particular scene that ChatGPT has given it. The iconic revelation that Darth Vader reveals his true identity to Luke Skywalker. One of the most famous plot twists in film history. And I don't know if you've heard the stories of, like, who knew what, that he was going to be, that he was the father, or, he was his dad and all that stuff. I forget if, like, Harrison didn't know, or, if even, like, Mark Hamill didn't know, or wherever it was. But I think that just that shock. And there's still, what I love is new Star Wars fans who have not seen it all, normally, like, children. I've seen like reactions of like, them watching it for the first time and them realizing that this bad guy is actually the dude's dad, Luke's dad, and they're just completely shocked. So even to this day, we can still have that shock value because it's so impactful. Number one spot. I mean, for me personally, yeah. I mean, I Am Your Father is probably the best moment in, you know, in, you know, one of the best movies of all of Star Wars, of in Empire Strikes Back, right? So to see that, even now when I watch it, it is great. And I could, and the way it's acted, the way it's directed, all of this, I mean, even in the scene, you kind of see Vader with his fist out, and, you know, those are all like things that you just remember, you know, the first time you, where you were the first time you saw this.
Yeah, I would make the case this scene is a top 10 scene in movie history, not just in Star Wars.
Right, yeah.
Like, when you think of Star Wars, this is the scene that you think of, maybe, you know, like, as the most classically iconic picture of what Star Wars is. I feel like I've read before, Joey, that there are even fake scripts created.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
So that, like, and then maybe even, like, you know, shared amongst people, that way the true narrative wasn't known. But, you know, just this story of father and son, redemption more than anything. I mean, that's really what the original trilogy is about. And, you know, the prequel trilogy is kind of more so like the road towards downfall, and the original trilogy being about this redemption story, this father and son story, bringing him back to the light, like we talked about a little bit earlier. So yeah, for me, easily number one on the list. It's gotta be. I don't know if you could have any other scene in the number one spot, but ChatGPT, you did okay. You did okay on this number one spot for sure. And really on the whole list as a whole, I don't think there were too many things that we really had much of an issue with, if at all, you know, switching things around here and there, maybe one or two that we said, maybe that's top 15 instead of top 10, but for the most part, a pretty solid list. Having said that, each of us did come up with one moment that was not included on the list that we personally would add if we had to add another scene. Joey, would you like to give yours first, or should I give mine first?
Go ahead and go yours first.
Okay. Well, I think I won't spoil what yours is, but I was actually leaning towards picking what yours was until I saw yours. So I was like, okay.
That's why I always respond first. So I can
Yeah. So I like yours a lot, and you'll talk about that in a second. So I kind of played around with a few other ones. I was like, you know, the scene with Leia and Han, you know, the I love you, I know scene is pretty great, or pretty iconic, I guess I should say. I almost wanted to pick the Vader scene at the end of Rogue One. I thought that would have been really cool to pick.
That would have been a good one.
Or even, like, you know, the first lightsaber duel we ever get to see, Obi-Wan versus Vader and New Hope. I think all of those, you could make a case for them being top 10. But the one I'm going with, because I am so much of a lightsaber fan, and that's what, you know, that's what I've come to see when I see a Star Wars movie. I'm going with what I would consider the second best live action lightsaber duel, but which takes place in, of course, Revenge of the Sith, and is known as the Battle of Heroes between Anakin and Obi-Wan. This is actually by far the longest lightsaber duel in terms of screen time in the entire franchise, taking place on the planet Mustafar, what would become Vader's homeworld in sort of the expanded universe and Legends stuff later on after the duel. But, you know, it is in many ways like Duel of Fates. I personally would say Duel of Fates is a slightly better lightsaber duel, but this is also elevated at that level of really showcasing what you can do with great lightsaber choreography, as we saw in the prequel trilogy. And not only that, but like the hard work and talents of two actors who are willing to put in the time and effort and work to make it look as smooth and seamless as possible. And then apart from like the technical aspects of it, what it means to the story, this is the pinnacle in many ways, how the I Am Your Father scene is in Empire Strikes Back, how the trench run scene is in New Hope, how the throne room scene is in Return of the Jedi. Like that's what Battle of Heroes is to Revenge of the Sith, what almost everyone would consider to be the best prequel film. And so this is just an incredible pinnacle of this movie. You get to see kind of the sad conclusion of it, and really Vader's final turn to the dark side, of course, you know, excluding his turn back to the light years and years later. But just for me, probably the best part of the prequels for me. I think I'm willing to actually say that too. So a fantastic scene. This is one that I would definitely have in my personal top 10. How about you?
I like it. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, I mean, and you know, you, like I said, I responded first, so I had to make sure I snagged this one before you did. For me, it is the final Vader slash Anakin's redemption that happens in Return of the Jedi. When just that entire scene, just everything that happens there, when Vader kind of tricks Luke into like finally like turning to the, like trying to turn to the dark side, and make him battle him like real, you know, real hard. And then Luke finally saying like, oh, you know, you'll never have me to the Emperor, you know, I'll never turn to the dark side. Just that entire thing. And then the Emperor, I think up to this point, didn't know he had the electricity. You know, that was like, I think that was a little bit of a shocker, no pun intended. And you know, he was shocking Luke. And then you see, and what's great about this scene, what I love about it is, you know, obviously Vader has the helmet on, he has the whole Vader outfit on, so you can't see any facial expressions or anything like that. But he kind of does this kind of looking back and forth between the Emperor and Luke. And you can almost, you know, just by the acting itself, you could tell that he's like really contemplating, what am I supposed to do? This is my son, you know. And then finally him picking up the Emperor, tossing him into the reactor shaft, just like, you know, and just the lightning coming down, you know, coming out still from his fingers as he throws him off. Now, we can argue, shouldn't have Palpatine fought a little bit there, you know, maybe there's some argument to it, but back then when Return of Jedi came out, when you saw that moment, him finally kind of taking a step towards the light, finally getting the redemption because of Luke, was an amazing moment. And I was so you know, it was this, you know, because at that end, Return of the Jedi, that was it. There's no more Star Wars. This was the end of the story, you know. And it was so fulfilling to kind of see that happen. And of course, you know, unfortunately, you know, Vader just dies like on the ship there, mm-hmm. Or on the Death Star there. So, but just to see all of that happen, it was just an amazing moment. It really was a great finale to Star Wars, or what we thought the end of Star Wars was going to be at that moment.
Your favorite Star Wars movie, right?
And my favorite Star Wars movie, favorite part. Yeah, all that. So, this is this makes sense, my choice.
I like it. Well, and those of you listening and watching, let us know what your choice would be to include in your top 10. If there was anything that we didn't discuss today, or anything that we did that you're like, there's no way that's in the top 10 best Star Wars moments of all time. Let us know your thoughts down below in response to this week's question of the week. What is your favorite Star Wars moment of all time? And the opposite of that is what we'll be talking about in next week's episode of the podcast, episode 94, the lowest or not so greatest or potentially even worst moments in Star Wars history, according to ChatGPT. Going to be covering that in next week's episode. So stay tuned for that one next week. We're going to bring some positivity to it, even though
what we do. Maybe
some of the content might not necessarily be quite as positive as this week's content. We'll bring some positivity to it nonetheless. So check it out next week, episode 94, coming to a off Hangout podcast near you. Want to give you a final reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, definitely check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as all of our reactions to the new Star Wars shows when they do come out. Thank you to the 451 of you who are subscribed currently over there. Shout out to Snoop Dogg as well. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people who love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials at X, TikTok, and Instagram at Hoth Hangout on each of those. Check us out, follow us there, and see what's in store over there, as well as the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, the link to which can be found down in the show notes of today's episode. Joey, any final thoughts before we call it for this one?
Well, you know, we got to say a thank you to our third host, the ChatGPT. So thank you for helping us out with this episode. We'll see you next week. Also, a new guest, the guest host for next week as well. Now, this was really cool. Something a little different that you and I have into the AI world to see if we can come up with a little fun way to have an episode here. So it was a lot of fun. I am actually very interested in what we're going to come up with next week. There are a couple of movies, there are a couple of shows that we could probably come up with, you know, on our own. But we could just scour through YouTube and just see what people don't like. So, but yeah, we'll see what ChatGPT says next week. But it was a lot of fun.
Definitely. My last thought on this week's topic as well. Almost could throw up. Now this is pod racing in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, not that I would ever actually include that in my top 10, but it's a fun memeable moment. So, anyways, lastly, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show, video, and assets, and all of the clean, nice, fresh, new looking graphics to the podcast this week. Those of you watching the video version of the podcast, hope you all enjoyed kind of the new, fresh, and improved look we had. An amazing job. Loving the comments of today's episode to producer Gibbo. We appreciate you, Gibbo. Excellent work with the awesome new look of the podcast. It's really nice. So thank you. Shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. And shout out to, who are we giving shouts out to? I mean, we could keep giving shouts out to Snoop Dogg, honestly, but maybe for this one, we can just say who you think.
ChatGPT.
I like that. Yeah. Shout out to ChatGPT, our third co-host of this podcast today. So we'll see you next week, ChatGPT. And we hope to see you all next week as well for episode 94 of the podcast, when we'll be covering the top 10 not so greatest / worst moments in Star Wars history. Catch you all in the next one. Thanks so much for listening to this one. And until next time, may the Force be with you.